Good morning. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Hei in Menachos 95. The Gemara we left off yesterday was a machlokus between the Amoraim, each one supported by Brisas, what exactly the shape of the lechem upon him was. Right? A lot of our parak, 11th parak of Menachos, is going to deal with the lechem upon him. Lechem upon him and shtei alechem, but a little bit more lechem upon him. So yesterday we discussed the shape. It's either rectangular in shape, 90 degree angles, box shape bread that was placed on the table, stacked six high, two columns on the shulchan. We talked yesterday about the support that would hold the bread up, and the little rods and that would hold each bread up. So that was one position. The other position was Sfina Roketes. It looked like a boat. It looked like a boat in water, dancing in water, which means that it was more like triangular shape, where it basically was wide on the sides and then came in and basically came to a V at the bottom. Okay, and the Gemara pointed out yesterday, if that's the position you take, you obviously understand what the need for the support is, because there's no way the bread could stand on its own. The only way the bread could stand is with the support. And the Gemara says that there are braces that support that as well. And some machlokas between the Amoraim, and that's what we just discussed yesterday. Today, we move to discuss some more issues about the lechem upon him. A good part of today, I'd say the majority of today, is going to be dealing with the following question. Ibailuhu, we are six lines down from the top of the Amoraim, Sadi Hamad Aleph, and we continue the Gemara. The Gemara says, lechem upon him nifsa b'masos, or in a nifsa b'masos. Okay, well, in terms of the Parsha Shavuot, we're pretty much in line with question of the Gemara. We've been discussing now with the Parsha Shavuot, Parsha's Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar. So we started Bamidbar, we went to Naso, and then yesterday we read Baal Oscha. So we know, we saw it yesterday in yesterday's Parsha, and we started in Parsha's Naso as well. So the Jewish people travel. Now when the Jewish people travel, so, right, you got to pack your bags. The beauty of traveling. And in packing your bag, so the Mishkan would be disassembled and the Mishkan would be sent into motion. Okay, so far so good. Nothing that exciting yet. But when the Mishkan was taken apart and sent to motion, so that means that there was no longer an edifice of the Mishkan, which means that there were no walls around the Mishkan, which now means that any karbanos are going to be outside of the Mishkan. Just for the simple definition that we don't have a Mishkan. The Mishkan was dismantled, and now we're traveling. So the Gemara now wants to know the following: Lechem Apanim Nifsa B'Masos and Nifsa B'Masos. So the question specifically about the Lechem Apanim is Kachi Kachim. Right? Let's remind ourselves: it's a regular mincha, which means that once it's taken off the table, now Kohanim have to eat it and have to eat it by the conclusion of the day. They get day and night, right? It's like regular Kachi Kachim. So once taken off the table, so they have day and night to eat it. However, if the bread is taken out of the Azara, so the bread is going to be subject to being Nifsal. So the question the Gemara wants to know is, once it's dismantled, once the Mishkan is dismantled, and there's no longer any walls around, do we say that the bread is subject to being Pusel? The bread's still on the table. I'm going to try to be clear about this. Right? The bread wasn't taken off the table, the bread is still on the table. Is the table enough to provide sanctuary for the bread? Right. Does the table protect the bread from the psul of Yotze, from the disqualification of Yotze? So the Gemara says, Rav Yochan, Rav Yeshua, Man Levi, Charamar Nifsal, V'Charamar Ninifsal. So the Gemara now basically says, this is going to turn to a machlokas samaraim between Rav Yochan and Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. Now I'm warning you that the Gemara will be spending an amud from here until really the next Mishnah discussing this issue. And it's one of those things where sometimes the Gemara's response to even the question is, it's a historical question, right? It's not, meaning we want to know what happened to the lechem upon him in the while they were traveling in the desert. Okay, certainly of interest, right? Certainly something, you know, we'd like to know, but the Gemara usually doesn't discuss halacha, which once upon a time happened, and it doesn't have any relevance. So what you need to figure out, which I haven't, is there any relevance to this discussion to something that, I mean, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but even when there was a Beis HaMikdash, which we could relate to. Okay, so, you know, sometimes the Gemara says, Ma'ida Hava Hava, once upon a time was, and let's not discuss it. And then sometimes, like here, the Gemara is discussing something which is totally historical. So, Ma'ida Amar Nifsal, Dichsiv, so let's go over now each position. So, Tzimach Lokus Amarayim, Gemara is now going to go through each position. So, man, damer nefsal dechsev kasher yachanu ken yisau. Just like they camped, so too they traveled. Right? This goes all the way back to the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. This is Parshas Bamidbar. Ma bechaniyaso nefsal biyotze af benisiyaso nefsal biyotze. Look, when they're encamped, if I were to take the bread out of the temple courtyard, it becomes pasul. Same thing is true when they're moving. Once you take it out of the temple courtyard, so therefore it's going to be pasul. And the one who says that it doesn't become pasul, as long as it's on it, as long as the bread is on the table, so then it's not going to be pasul, it's not going to be disqualified. Meaning the shulchan alone, you don't need a courtyard, you don't need a mishkan. All you need is the shulchan. The shulchan provides refuge and sanctuary for the lechem upon him. Vidach nami, now the Gemara is going to do what it classically does, go over each position, how they deal with the other pasuk. Vidach nami haksib kasher yachnu ken yisau. So the Gemara says, so what is this last mandamer that we just quoted, what is it going to do with the first pasuk that we quoted? So lidach yisa. So the Gemara says, you know what it'll do? He'll actually use the pasuk to his advantage, because the pasuk says, just like when they encamped, so too when they traveled. And you know what that means? Meaning that camping and traveling, nothing changes. Right. It actually is the same. Right. When they are encamped, bread's on the table, bread's going to be fine. When they travel, bread's on the table, bread's going to be fine. So the pasuk actually is a support for that position. The Gemara says, okay, but what is the first mandamer going to do with the pasuk of lechem atamid alav yeh? That the lechem atamid is on the table, and the critical word in that sentence is the word is. Lechem atamid yehiyeh is going to be on the table. As long as it's on the table, it's going to be fine. So how can you tell me that just because we take apart the mishkan, the bread's going to become pasul? What do you mean? It's on the table. Shouldn't the table provide the sanctuary for the bread? So Ella, so the Gemara says, that's a strong question. Very strong question. In fact, the Gemara says it's so strong, the next word that would come up in the Gemara is Ella. Ella always means, always. Again, you know, exceptions to the rule. But Ella means, well, okay, fine. We're going to scratch that first approach, and we're going to now offer another approach. Ella ki asa rav dimi amar.
To the first mandama. It's possible, it wouldn't have to replace it every time it's stopped.
Yeah, they would have to make right. They'd have to make new lechem upon him every time they traveled. At that stage of the Gemara, that's exactly what the Gemara is entertaining. They would travel, which now means that they don't have a mishkan, which now means bread left the azara. So now they have to make new lechem upon him every single time. But the Gemara is going to change. Okay. If it's on the table and it's organized on the table, there is no machlokas, right? Everybody agrees that the bread is going to be fine on the table. Keep ela keep pligi be mesulak. Question is, what if the bread was removed off the table? So the Gemara says, good. So now we're going to understand each position. The one that says that traveling in encampment is the same, what does that mean? Look, if you were encamped and you took the bread off the table and took it out of the mishkan, it's going to be disqualified. So too, while they're traveling, once it's off the table, and here it's even quicker because there is no mishkan, so once you move it off the table, it's going to be pasul. And laman damer no nifsa dechsev nasal oal moed. Afal pisha nasa oal moedu. And then the other position says no. The oal moed status is a status even when they're traveling. Okay, now that's a big chiddush, because what the Gemara now is suggesting to explain the second position is that, in other words, when they travel, there's nothing. Meaning, they don't have curtains around, the mishkan is deconstructed, so now it's just boards and beams, everything is taken apart. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, okay, but it still has status as they're traveling. Right, that's a big chiddush, because we normally assume that the mishkan has status because it's a structure, because it is a building, and because there are curtains around, so that provides the status of Oel Moed. And now what the Gemara is suggesting is, no, as long as you have all the materials and while you're traveling, It's still lo amoleh.
My camping, I think that my tent.
Right. It's still a tent, even while it's in your while you're carrying your backpack. So the Gemara says v'idach nami aksiv kasher yachnu ken yisau. So again, Gemara is going to now try to go over how each position will accept the other pasuk. So lidach yisa. So the Gemara says, look, that pasuk of equating encampment to traveling, that's easy. Ma bechaniyasa ki lo mapik le lo mifso af benisiyaso ki lo mapik le lo mifso. As long, just like when you're encamped, as long as you don't take it out, it won't be disqualified. So to when you're traveling, as long as you don't take it out, it won't be disqualified. The idach nami aksiv nasa o maweid. So the Gemara says, what about the pasuk of Venasa Ola Moed? Hahu l'degalim hu da'asa. Nah, that pasuk of, and the Ola Moed travels, that's not an issue of status of the Mishkan. That just simply means formation. How is the traveling formation of the Jewish people? Venasa Ola Moed means that just like you had a certain formation when they encamped, so when they traveled, they had a similar formation. Okay. V'idach mimachana alavim mitocha. And the other position, he agrees with traveling formation. He learns that point from another pasuk. The pasuk says that the Levim traveled amongst the machanos, which means that just like they encamped, that's the same way they traveled as well. Okay, so far now we have a new understanding. Our new understanding is bread on the shulchan. Everybody agrees it's fine. Everybody. Bread is taken off the shulchan while they're traveling. Now we have a debate. According to one mandamer, again, we don't know. We know it's a machlokas amarayim. We know the participants in the machlokas are Rav Yochanan, Rav Yishuv, and Levi. We don't know who says what, but this happens. So in the Gemara, that's not so uncommon. We're at the stage now where while they're traveling and you take the bread off the table, question goes like this. One mandamer says you took it off the table, that's it, it's done. It's going to be now pasul, and the pasul is yotze. You have now taken it out of the Olam Moed. You've taken it out of the Mishkan. The other mandamer says no.
Mishkan
is still there. The status of the Mishkan is still there, even though they're traveling. Meitzveh. The Gemara is going to challenge now based on a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, "V'shas tiluk masos kachim nifsalim biyotze v'zavin u'mitzorim mishtachin chutz mechitz asan." So we have a Tosefta, 13th perek of Zvachim. That's the end of Zvachim, where we discussed a little bit back then the different stages of the Jewish people as the stage of the Jewish people in the desert, and then we talked about when they got into Eretz Yisrael, and various stages of the Jewish people. And the Tosefta talks about what happens when they were traveling in the desert. So Bishat Stiluk Masos Kachim Nifsalim Yotze. So the first point the Tosefta makes is that all Kachim become disqualified. Yotze, meaning they left the walls of the Azara. I mean, if you want to accurately say it, the walls of the Azara left them. But okay, but the point is that there's no longer walls of the Azara, and now all Kachim are now subject to the Psal of Yotze. They left the Azara. And Zavin Umutsuraim Mishtachim Chutzim Chitzasan. Now, if you're a Zavar, you're a Mitzorah, so you gotta leave your Mechitzos. A little more clarification over there. What does that mean? So a man is a Zav or a Baal Keri. Same halacha is going to be for either one of them, right? Zav is a discharge that comes from more of an illness, and Baal Keri is just a regular discharge. So either one of them is going to be Tamei. They can't, these men can't go into the Mishkan. They can't go into the Machane Shechina. Let me give a little more background. This is information we've gone over a number of times, but it's always worth reviewing. While they encamped in the desert, there are basically three concentric circles. Not exact circles, but in other words, one level of Kedusha, another layer outside of that, another layer outside of that. The center one is what's called Machane Shechina. That's the Mishkan. The one around that is what's called Machane Leviya. That's where the Levim encamped. And the third one is called Machane Yisrael. That's where the Jewish people encamped. Okay, if we're going to take that model and bring it into Eretz Yisrael and bring it into Yerushalayim, so the Azara, the temple courtyard, that's Machane Shechina. Har HaBayis, the square around it, the larger square around it, right, the western wall, right, that is one of the outer walls of the Har HaBayis. So the Har HaBayis, that is now Machane Leviya, and the city of Yerushalayim, the part that is surrounded by the wall, that's Machane Yisrael. Okay, if you're a Zav or you're a Baal Keri, the halacha is you can't go into Machane Shechina. You can go into Machane Leviya. You can certainly be a machane Yisrael, but you can't be a machane Shechina. Right? So, those that do go up on Har Bayis, right? Not an opponent, not a proponent, right? I have no opinion on it, but the those who do go on to Har Bayis, so even though they're Tamei Mace, but Tamei Mace, wait a second, am I? No, I was wrong. I'm sorry. No, I take it back. I'm sorry, I take it back. Right? No. Okay, rewind the tape. I'm just going to erase the last, well, I'm not going to erase it, but I'm just going to make a correction. I'm sorry, Zav and Balkari can't go into Machane Leviya. Right? Okay.
So
they can't go into Machane Leviya. Right? But they can be Machane Yisrael. Okay, correction. And if you're a Mitzora, right, we all know the halacha there. Mitzora, you're out.
All
Machanos. Okay. Good. Corrected. Now, let me make the side point. So if you are going to go venture up to Har Abayis, right, Har Abayis is Machane Leviya. So you can't be a Balkari, right, which all married men are. So what you have to do, oddly enough, is that if you want to go in Har Abayis, you got to tell them the mikvah. Okay. All those who do venture out to Har Abayis, if they do correctly, which again, it's controversial. Some people say that there's no correct way to do it, but if you do venture up to Har Abayis, so you got to tovel in the mikvah because you got to get rid of your tumas balkeri. And it's interesting, you get rid of your tumas balkeri, even though obviously all of us are still going to maintain our tumas mace status. Okay, but that's fine because as a tamei mace, you're allowed to go into machane leviya. As a tamei mace, you can't go into machane shechina. So those who do venture up to Har Abayis, so they're guided, right, with somebody who presumably knows where the temple courtyard is in that area.
You can go up there because Rav Yisrael is Tamei Meis?
Huh?
The reason why you can go is
we're all Tamei Meis, but that's not the reason why you can go. Meaning we're Tamei Meis, which means that none of us can go into the Azara, into the temple courtyard, even nowadays, even though we don't know where it is. The problem is that once you go beyond Har Abayis, once you go back beyond the Western Wall, so people don't know where anything is,
right,
generally. So there's a possibility that you're going to be walking into the area of the courtyard. That's the pitfall of going up on Har Abayis. Aside from the political and other issues as well. Right. Correct. All right. So the Tosefta means to teach us like this: when they are traveling. So if you're a Zava Mitzora, you have to leave your mechitzas, meaning that just like when you're encamped, if you're a Zav or a Balkari, you can't go into Machane Shechina, you cannot go into Machane Leviya. You have to stay on the periphery. But periphery here means that you can be a Machane Yisrael. Or if you're a Mitzora, you got to be all the way outside. So when you're traveling, nothing changes. Okay, even though people are traveling now, people are in motion, but still, the Zavim, they cannot be where the Leviyim are while they're traveling. And the Mitzorayim, back, all the way in the back, meaning they're literally bring up the rear of the Jewish people. Okay, so my love, I just explained the Tosefta, but the real thing that we want to focus on is the first part of the Tosefta, where it says that when they traveled, so the kachim are possible with Yotzei. That's what the Tosefta says. Now my love, I feel like I'm upon him. So the Gemara says, aren't we talking about all kachim? And aren't we also included in this discussion lechem upon him? So the Gemara answers really simply, lo, bar mi lechem upon him. Yes, all kachim become pasul with an exception. Like I've said so many times, there's a general rule and then there's an exception. The exception over here is the lechem upon him. Why is the lechem upon him an exception? Because it has the shochan and the shochan provides sanctuary. Manafshach. So the Gemara says, I don't fully understand this point. Yol moed dafka hu afilo kachim nami. So the Gemara says, well, how can you make a distinction? If it has status of Ol Moed, so then the Lechem Aponim should be saved, but so should everything else. And if it doesn't have the status of Ol Moed, so then why should the Lechem Aponim be okay? All right. Eliki Yasa Ravin. One more time, the Gemara now is going to go through a change of thinking. So Rabin comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he offers the following. So the Gemara says like this. Yes. truth of the matter is that there are two opinions, but Elu ve'elu, they're both correct positions. They both have a leg to stand on. If the bread's on the table, even while they're traveling, bread's going to be fine. Why? Because the table, the shulchan, provides sanctuary for the bread. The table will protect the bread from the psul of yotzei, and from all of the psulim as well. When the bread is off the table while they're traveling, that's it. The Ol Moed does not have the status of the Ol Moed, meaning they're traveling now. The Ol Moed is deconstructed, so now the bread is going to be possible with the psul of yotzei. Okay?
Say that again.
I'm going to say it again. So, there is no machlokas. There's an agreement over here. Each one is describing a different scenario. When they're traveling, if the bread's on the table, bread's going to be fine. It'll be impervious to any type of disqualification. It won't receive a psul of yotzei, and presumably also, although this is not the Gemara's discussion, it won't have a psul of lina. Why? The table protects it. How do I know that? Based on the pasuk that the Gemara quoted earlier. The pasuk says, "Avalechem atamid alav yihyeh." As long as the bread's on the table, bread's bread. It still maintains the status of lechem upon him. But when they're traveling, and if the bread were to be taken off the table, all bets are off. Now it's going to be disqualified. What's the disqualification? Yotze. It left the walls of the mechi. It left the walls of the azara.
You're not disputing the fact that it stays on. You just said if it came.
Correct. Correct.
It could be either one.
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed. Amar Abaye. Shma mina yeshiluk masos balayla. Okay. So now that we're here, and this is it. In other words, this is the end point of this Gemara. So now that we're here, so Abaye says, so now let's think this through. Okay, now comes out that we just had a discussion about traveling and what happens to the lechem upon him as they travel in the desert. And the conclusion that we have arrived at is that when they're traveling, as long as the bread's on the table, bread's fine. Once the bread's taken off the table, bread's going to have issues. Not just issues, the bread's will be disqualified. Okay. Abaye says, you know what? If we think this through, we can actually arrive at another conclusion as well. Okay? Shema mineh yeshiluk masaos balayla. So Abaye says, think this through. It comes out now that we would start traveling at night. Okay? Meaning that you could make the argument that when do we travel in the desert? You can make the argument that we only travel during the day, not during a night. Now, if you know Chumash, you'll realize, what? We only travel during the day, not at night? Right? Laleches, right? The pasuk says, the Gemara is about to quote it. Laleches yomam v'layla, right? We traveled both day and night, meaning when HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go, we walk regardless of day and night. But, okay, and the Gemara is going to quote that pasuk in just a moment, but the Gemara is now saying that what you could have understood is that once we started walking, we walked day and night. But we only started, God only started us going only during the daytime. You could make that argument. Abaye says, based on the discussion that we just had, and based on the two psukim that we just quoted, and the difference between the lechem upon him being on the table versus being off the table, what's clear from that whole discussion is that sometimes we started traveling at night. Let's go through the argument, the thought process of Abaye.
So maybe it's not traveling, maybe it's just dismantling the...
Okay. The Gemara is assuming that those events happen concurrently. I'm Rabbi Shmamina Yeshiluk Masos Balayla. These are Gadach and Yeshiluk Masos Balayla. So Abaye takes us now through his thought process. Let's say that they don't travel at night and they only travel during the day. Amos Madle, when does everything get taken down? But Lit Safra, or probably changed to a Bit Safra. Right? No, Mid Safra. Okay. Madle Mid Safra. So the Gemara says, okay, so that means then, meaning, if we're going to assume that they only traveled in the day, that means that everything was taken down in the morning. Meaning, as Rashi says, Tosfos over here, the long Tosfos on this page, makes this point very clear as well. The assumption the Gemara is going into is that when the Gemara is now saying that they traveled there during the day, they mean specifically break of dawn, mm-hmm. Right? Right. Once the sun rises, once we see the morning, that's it. We're on our way. My area mishum yotzei typically de'ev sobalina. So the Gemara says, now think this through. That now means that we are dismantling in the morning. When was the bread taken off? Meaning, if we're talking about lechem aponim, so the bread was taken, and we're having a discussion of it becoming pasul, it becoming disqualified. So again, on the table, everybody agrees. It's only when it's taken off the table. So now, if we're talking about next morning, so the lechem aponim has already been removed the day prior, right? Assuming that we're not talking about Shabbos, we're talking about Sunday morning. And so that means now that it is Sunday morning, lechem aponim should be disqualified already through the psul of lina. So the Gemara says, so what? And we're not talking about the psul of lina. We're discussing the psul of yotzei. Oh, it must be that the instructions to start traveling is already the night prior. So there's no psul of lina, there's only a psul of yotzei. Oh, and that's why the Gemara now is entertaining this discussion of will become possible with the Yotzei, will not be possible with the Yotzei. It must be that they started traveling already the night prior.
This is the Lechem Panim.
This is all about the Lechem Panim.
But the Lechem Panim doesn't have a lina.
Sure, in other words, on the table, you're correct. We're discussing once it's removed off the table.
Oh, wait.
Meaning at the conclusion of Shabbos. Not the conclusion, but on Shabbos, it's taken off the table. Now, it's remember, lechem aponim is kachem kachem, which means that the Kohanim only have that day and the following night to eat it. So what the Gemara is arguing is, if we only travel during the day, we're not going to travel on Shabbos, that's not up for discussion. So that means that the time that we're going to travel is the first chance we're going to go is Sunday morning. If Sunday morning is the first time we're going to travel, so then basically that bread that we're talking about, why are we having a discussion of Yotzei? Let's have a more basic discussion, which is it's a morning. That's the bread's now disqualified. It's kachi kachi.
But they have until Sunday night to eat it, no?
No. They only have till Saturday.
So why are you assuming it was not eaten by then?
But when the Gemara is having an entire discussion about Lina, I'm sorry, about Yotzei, if we only left in the morning, so the first discussion we should have is the discussion of Lina. The fact that our whole discussion revolves around Yotzei means that oh, must be that instructions to travel can come to us even Saturday night.
So we have when Saturday night and Sunday, but by all day to eat it?
No. When it's taken up, let's try to be clear. When it's taken off the table on Shabbos, so now it's kachim kachim and it's not on the table, so how long do I have to eat it? That day, and when I say me, I don't mean me, because it's kachim kachim, it's zichrei kahuna, only kohanim get to eat it. They have that day and the following night.
Sunday, it shouldn't be around it.
And then the Gemara spends an entire amud of Gemara discussing, well, what about the psul of yotzei? And Abaye is just wondering, why are we talking about the psul of yotzei? Why aren't we talking about the psul of lina? So Abaye says, it must be, by deductive reasoning, it must be that the instructions to travel can come to us already Saturday night.
No, but what about the fact that you have to keep it there for a whole week?
Yeah, but understood. And when it's on the table, right, the Gemara says, when it's on the table, there's no discussion. Meaning the table is going to protect it from any psul. Psul of lina, psul of yotzei. It's only, this whole discussion is once it's taken off the table. And the Gemara came to the agreement point that once it's taken off the table and there's no Mishkan, it's done. And Abaye is just commenting now, look at which disqualification we're focusing on. We're focusing not on lina, we're focusing on yotzei. So Abaye says, oh, I know why. Because lina didn't happen yet. Because instructions to leave were already Saturday night. I'll tell you what, afterwards, if you want to go over it some more, I'll go over it some more. But in the meantime, let's go on. So my ear yishum yotzei typically di'v sobelina. So pshita, the Gemara says, okay, good. So this is Abaye, and he uses this discussion of our Gemara as a springboard to realize, oh, they traveled that night, right? So the Gemara says, traveled that night. Of course, they traveled that night. La lechas yomam alayla k'siv. So the Gemara says, pasuk says they traveled that night. Why is Abaye? Classic Gemara thinking where Abaye uses a discussion to arrive at a conclusion which the Torah says basically is correct. So the Gemara says no, because yeah, if they started traveling during the day, so they continue traveling at night. But you could have made the argument, okay, and you got to figure out why you would make this argument. Again, I need to think more about this Gemara. But you could have made the argument that We'll start walking during the day, but we won't start walking at night. Instructions to travel would not begin at nighttime. Kamash Malan. That's what Abai is coming to teach us. Abai is coming to teach us that no, that we would start traveling even at night. And how did Abai come to that conclusion? Because based on everything we just discussed. Meaning, why are we talking about the Psil of Yotze? Why are we not talking about the Psil of Lina? Oh, it must be because we can leave even on a Saturday night. Okay, very minute. One more point over here on this discussion, and then we are done with the discussion of traveling in the desert. We quote a... Who is this, a Mishnah or a Braisa? It's a Braisa. Well, Reminu, the Gemara says, how about the following? Huglulu ha-paroches. Once the curtain was taken down, and this is talking about in the desert, this is talking about when they were traveling in the desert, Huchu ha-zavinim would start on the Kanes L'sham. So at that point in time, Zavinim Mitzarayin can go wherever they want. Meaning, once the Mishkan is taken down, there's no longer a formation, right? And there's no longer Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael. There's no longer any of that. And now, right, it's like you're flying in the plane and you hear over the loudspeaker, you're free to walk around the cabin. Okay? We're no longer in formation. Good. So the Gemara says, that's obviously contradicts what we just learned. What we just quoted from the Tosefta and Zvachim is that no, even while they're traveling, they still, if you're a Zav, you can't be with the Leviim. If you're a Mitzora, you gotta go in the back. You gotta bring up the rear. So this Braisa clearly contradicts what we saw in the previous Braisa. The Gemara says Amar Rav Ashi, Lokashia, HaRabbi Eliezer, HaRabbanan. So the Gemara says, look, on this, really, I mean, there's nothing else to say. It's a Machlokas Tanayim. But what Rav Ashi is going to tell us is, how does he know it's a Machlokas Tanayim? So Rabbi Lazar Omer, D'Tanya, we're going to write to the top of the next Amud, Sani Hamid Beis. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Yachol Dachu, Azav, Mitzorayim, B'nichnasu Lazar, B'Pesach. So, I'm sorry, B'Pesach, Chabba, B'Tama. Yachol Yuchayavim. Look, let me give everyone a little bit of background over here. Majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, but not just Tamei, but Tamei Meis. So we all know, Pesach that year could be brought B'Tama. Okay? Karban Pesach is a time-bound carbon, needs to be brought on the 14th day of Nisan. So if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, so you don't get deferred, like we read in yesterday's Parsha, you don't get deferred to Pesach Sheni, but everyone brings on that year. However, that deferment, the allowance to bring Pesach that year, is only for those people who are Tamei Meis. People who are other forms of Tumah, Zav and Mitzora, they can't bring the Pesach on Pesach Rishon, even though it's a Pesach this year that's brought to Tumah. Okay. Now, you only have a dispensation for the Jews who are Tamei Meis, not for any form of Tumah. Okay. Yachol, I might have thought, let's say this is the year that is Pesach is being brought in the state of Tumah, which means that the majority of people are Tamei Tumas Meis. Now, you're not Tamei Meis. You're a Zav. You're a Mitzora. And you say, look, he's Tamei, and he's going into the temple courtyard. I should be the same. Right? Yeah, right? We're all equal. We're all equally Tamei. So I'm going to go in as well. Yachol Yuchayavim. Now, you don't have a dispensation, only he does. So you might have thought, now that you don't have a dispensation, and now that you're going into the temple courtyard, so the regular rules of someone who's Tamei going into the courtyard, that is a Kares prohibition, would apply to you. And you should be Chayav. We read in 2 weeks ago in Parshas Naso that the Gemara makes a correlate between all three of them. So the Gemara says if Tamei Meis is not allowed to go into the temple courtyard, so the Zav and the Mitzara are equally not allowed to go into the temple courtyard. But once the Tamei Meis is allowed to go into the temple courtyard, like Pesach Chabah B'Tumah, so then the Isser of a Zav and a Mitzara to go into the temple courtyard is lifted as well. Okay, this is a braisa, and this is the thought process of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, now that we know that, so then we go back to the, right, once a parochus is taken down, Zav and Mitzrayim are free to go wherever they want. Yeah, correct, because once the parochus is taken down, so there's no longer a Mishkan, and so now, basically, all bets are off. So that last braisa that we just quoted goes in sync with Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Good. Well, that takes us to the Mishnah. So again, half of today's daf, right? All of Tzadi Hamad Beis Amud Aleph really revolves around one question: how do we view the lechem upon him while they're traveling in the desert? Again, it's a historical question. So, and usually the Gemara doesn't discuss at such length historical questions, but the Gemara does. Obviously, there must be some sort of more contemporary relevance to this question. And here the Gemara comes to a very simple conclusion: as long as the bread's on the table, the table provides protection for the bread and makes the bread impervious to all disqualifications. Once the bread has been removed from the table while they're traveling, the bread now will be disqualified through the psul of Yotzei. Okay, pretty straightforward conclusion. The next Mishnah, where does all this get prepared? Meaning we have the lechem upon him, it's baked every single week. So first of all, we're going to discuss where. Where does it get baked? Where does it get prepared? So, well, before we get to the bait, so when it comes to the she'alachim, when it comes to the lechem upon him, lishasam v'arichasam v'chutz. So I knead it outside the temple courtyard, and I arrange it, meaning the molds, outside the temple courtyard.
Oh, huh? Measuring what happened.
Okay, good. The afiyasam bifnim. But once you bake it, now you got to go into the temple courtyard. Okay, the eight. Now, before we go on to the next point of the Mishnah. Right? Do we understand what the issues are over here? Okay. Phil already alluded to one of the issues.
Amen.
Okay. When I knead the dough, that means the first thing I got to do is measure the flour. Okay. We spent a good part of the 10th parak talking about the measuring cups. Now, we generally assume that when it comes to measuring cups, are klisharis. Now, we all know, we've been in the world of kachim for a while, right? We all know that when you have a kli sharet, yes, correct, very good. We'll get to that in just a moment. So when you have a kli sharet, that means that once the flour goes into a kli sharet, the flour which was kedushas damim, had value sanctity, now once placed into the kli sharet, has kedushas haguf. It now has intrinsic sanctity, which means that it's non-redeemable, and it's subject to all the psulim, all the disqualifications of a karban. Notably, it can't go outside the azara. So, Phil's already sensitive to this. So the Mishnah is telling us something which at first is strange. Because what the Mishnah is saying is that when I knead the dough, now kneading already means that I measure the flour. And presumably that means I measured it in a kli sharet. So how can I knead it outside the azara? Okay, so what you're going to have to say, which, and the Gemara is going to make this very clear, what you're going to have to say is that our Mishnah is of the position that the dry measuring cups are not kli sharet, and they're not nimshach, they're not anointed. And so therefore, just because you measure the flour does not yet imbue the flour with kedushas haguf. Now, it's interesting, anyone's going to ask me about the oil? Anyone's going to ask me about the oil? Well, I'm glad you didn't, because lechem upon him doesn't have oil in it.
And what happened to the? How did it become mekudesh then?
The shulchan. The shulchan's going to placement of the shulchan. Now I say that, but just one second, okay? Because let's go. Now we're going to read out of the Mishnah.
The shei lechem don't have oil either.
And the shei lechem also does not have oil.
Regular bread.
I mean. Right. My wife adds oil to her bread. Yeah. So, but fine.
But put in the basement.
So no. Well, not as lechem upon him.
The water wasn't used any water. I mean, they needed some.
Yeah. In other words, right. But the water didn't need to be mekudesh. Any water. V'aviyasam bifnim. Now, but the Mishnah says that when you bake it, you have to bake it inside. Meaning, and again, the Gemara is going to make this point clear. You baked it in an oven. The Tana of our Mishnah is of the opinion the oven, that is a kli sharet. Okay, it's a strange conclusion, but you're going to simple pshat the Mishnah is that when you knead it, so it doesn't it's not prepared in a kli sharet. But when you bake it, the oven is nimshach. The oven is a kli sharet, And so once the oven's in the klishar, and you're baking the oven, now the oven is going to imbue it with kedusha saguf. And now you have to be in the temple courtyard. Okay? Eina dochos es a Shabbos. Now, it doesn't override the Shabbos. The baking of the lechem apanim does not override the Shabbos. Which means, I've discussed this many times before, this is a halacha, you bake the lechem apanim on Friday. Okay. The Gemara is going to ask the question. The question where if you put everything I just said together, you realize it's going to be a huge problem, right? Give everyone a moment to think, right? It doesn't override the Shabbos, which means that you're baking it the day prior. You're baking on a Friday. Okay. Now, wow, right? Very good. Yeah, I heard you say it. So so that means that you're baking it on a Friday. What are you baking it in? So the answer is an oven. Didn't we just say that the oven is mekadesh, the oven sanctifies, the oven is a kli shareis? Once you bake it on Friday in a kli shareis, it now is kedusha saguf. It now is intrinsic kedusha. Now, what happens with anything that stays overnight? The lina, the psul of lina. And we don't put it on the table until the next day.
We don't put it on the table until Shabbos.
Right. Shabbos is when it goes on the table. So the Mishnah is confounding. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievably confounding.
Because doesn't the oven protect against it?
The only thing that provides protection for it is the shulchan. But it's not placed on the shulchan until the next day.
But the whole concept of lina, doesn't that initiate as soon as the levana is offered on its behalf?
No, lina means that once it has kedusha saguf, that's it. Now the clock has started ticking.
For what purpose? Clock starts running for what?
For everything. Meaning, and the only thing, for everything. For Yosef, for Lina, for everything.
No, but the thing is that Lina has to has to be consumed. That's what Lina is all about, right?
But in other words, it has to be consumed by a certain point in time, correct.
But the thing is that gets activated once they've offered the Levona.
Even before that, meaning once the bread is baked, it now has Kedusha Saguf. Now that has Kedusha Saguf, the clock starts ticking. It has to be consumed by tomorrow morning.
No, but the thing is that
I understand what
this for a whole 7 days. Huh?
Yeah, but that's only because the Shulchan provides protection. But if you're baking it on Friday, so now, the Mishnah just told us the oven provides that bread with now Kedusha Saguf. So you bake it on Friday, and you're not putting it on the shulchan until the next day. How come it doesn't become, between our baking on Friday and placing it on the table the next day, how come it doesn't become possible with lina? Okay. In that regard, I'm telling you, the Gemara's going to ask this question. The Gemara's not going to have an answer. I'll show you Tosos later on. Tosos, the Gemara's going to leave that question unresolved. It is a confounding point of the Mishnah. Okay, we'll come back. I'll discuss it more. That's what Ben's arguing right now, and I hear that argument. But the Mishnah just told us that once you bake it in the oven, you bake it inside the azara.
Right.
It clearly now it is called lechem apanim at the point of baking, according to the Mishnah. Otherwise, you could bake it wherever you want.
That's not true.
No, but the thing is that's understandable. But what I disagree with the idea that it may be lechem apanim, but its status for application of lina starts only when it's edible, and it's not edible until it hits the shulchan and sits there.
Okay, but
for
so the only thing I'm going to change in terms of your thought process is that it's lechem apanim once it has kedusha saguf, and the Mishnah is telling us it gets kedusha saguf at the point of baking.
But the thing is that okay, but
all right, we're gonna go back and forth over here.
Now? Can anybody eat it now?
No. Right. So,
how would lina apply to it?
I do understand what your point is, but okay. So the only thing I'm disagreeing with, and again, the Gemara is going to support me more on this issue, is that it is subject to lina the moment it has kedusha saguf. Okay, I hear you. Let's go on. Same thing. Shtei lechem is not baked on yontif. It's baked prior to yontif. Thank you, Phil. You're right. I'm wrong. But if Yontif falls out on Shabbos, so then it would be break before him. Okay, fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol ma'aseh b'fnim. Rabbi Yehuda says it's all done inside, meaning even the kneading is done inside. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the certain measuring cup has kedusha saguf, and so therefore it's done inside. And Rabbi Shimon Omer lo olam habiragel omer shtei lechem lechem apanim cheres bazaru cheres bebeis pagi. And Rabbi Shimon says no. Everything can be done outside, and when he says everything, presumably he means even the baking as well. It's all done outside the Azara. Okay, let's quickly go through the first part of the Gemara. Hagufa Kasha. And here the Gemara basically says everything that we said in the Mishnah already. Lishasam varichasam bechutz, ama midas yavish l'niskasha. V'afiyasam bifnim, ama midas yavish niskasha. So the Gemara presents it like a question, like, wow, I don't understand. You're kneading it outside the temple courtyard, but you're baking it inside the temple courtyard? How does that work? But the answer is simple. Ama rabba, hiksha adam kasha shu kasha kabarzel. Ask somebody who is like iron. Meaning you have a question and you have difficulty, go to a tough man. Tough man will answer the question. And who's that tough man? Umana Rav Sheshes, tough guy. Tough guy Rav Sheshes. And he explains like this. My kasha, delma isaron lamikdash, tanner mikadesh. Okay, that part is easy. The isaron measuring cup, not nimshach, does not have kedusha. Okay, and does not imbue it with kedusha seguf.
The mikvah also, that's right.
Correct. But the oven is mikdash and does have kedusha seguf. That part doesn't bother me. Elakasha, elikasha, akasha. V'af yasam b'fnim amatana mikdash. V'idochas as a Shabbos. So here we go now. Here the Gemara is going to ask the question, which I presented back in the Mishnah. Here's the part I don't get. You're baking it inside the azara. So clearly you're of the opinion, as we just got done saying, that the oven is nimshach. The oven is the kli sharis. The oven imbues the bread with kedushas aguf. But you're baking it on Friday. So if you're baking it on Friday, and now it has kedushas aguf, so the next day Shabbos, that bread should be disqualified. Ifsa la belina. He should be disqualified with lina. So Amarava, so Rava says here, hiksha adam kasha shehu kasha kabarzel. So ask a tough man and he'll give you an answer. Umanda Rav Sheshes, and that tough man is Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Sheshes, my kushya. Dilma mai bibifnim b'makom zrizin. So maybe the word bifnim doesn't mean in the temple courtyard. Maybe bifnim means it's done by people who normally are in the temple courtyard. But it doesn't mean the location of where it's baked. It means the people who do it, meaning Kohanim. But it's done even outside the Azara. Okay, now that's not a heartwarming answer. Meaning, the Mishnah, even so, it says bifnim. It doesn't really mean bifnim. That's basically what the Gemara is saying. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says v'hadar avashi berusahi. The Gemara says no. It's not right. Manav shachi afal bein nizrizin lisha varichanami bein nizrizin the elisha varichan lo bein nizrizin afianami lo bein nizrizin. I don't understand. Right? Really, that's when you get to the point of the baking. Oh, baking! Oh, we need someone who is like really competent. We need kohanim for this. And you don't need kohanim for the kneading, and you don't need kohanim for the arranging. You only need the kohanim for the baking. Like, it doesn't really, and that on top of the fact that the Mishnah says bifnim, usually bifnim means bifnim. So the Gemara says, why don't we try a different approach? Ela de Ravashi Brusi. But interestingly enough, the Gemara does not offer another approach. Meaning we're back at the question. The question is, if I'm baking on Friday, so how come the lechem upon him the next day doesn't become disqualified through the psul of lina? And the Gemara says, and the Ravashi suggestion, Barusa, Bedusa, it's not a serious answer.
Just say the oven didn't do it. That's all.
I understand that, but then why didn't the oven have to be baked in the Azara?
Right.
Again, it's a point that in the Mishnah, I don't have a resolution, and here in the Gemara asks the question, the Gemara doesn't resolve. And then,
Just give me one second.
And then, look at the second to last Tosfos on the page, it's super tiny, but Tosfos says, and this is really the only thing I don't know, that's not true. I guess you cannot make other suggestions as well, but Ben is convinced that, there's a difference between baking on Friday and putting on a shulchan, but Tosso says very simply, "Vitavra misha shana zulo shana zu." What we're going to have to do is then we're going to have to break the Mishnah up, meaning that the one who says that it has to bake in the oven in the Azara doesn't agree with the next part, which is that you have to bake it on Friday. Meaning, if you're of the opinion, this is Tosso's resolution, which is not fancy and not that neat and tidy, is that if you're of the position that it has to be baked in the oven in the courtyard, That means that you bake it on Shabbos. Because obviously the oven is imbuing it with Kedushas HaGufin. You can't bake it on Friday, because then it's going to get disqualified. If you're of the opinion that you can bake it on Friday, so that means that you're also of the opinion that you can bake it outside the temple courtyard, because the oven is not Nimshach, the oven is not a Kli Sharis. Tosfos says, that's the way you're going to have to learn the Mishnah. It's not a neat way to learn the Mishnah, but that's the way you're going to have to learn the Mishnah. Okay, we'll pause over here. A little bit more to go. We'll get to the next Mishnah tomorrow, and we'll start discussing more about the ability to bake on Shabbos versus baking on Erev Shabbos. Okay, I'll stop over.